It's Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, Carnival, as they celebrated in countries such as Brazil, El Salvador, and Trinidad. Today, Lost and Found Sound takes us to Trinidad for a story about the birth of the steel drum, or pan, a carnival tradition. The Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, unfold the tale of the legendary pan drum orchestra and the flamboyant American piano virtuoso who championed them. Here's the story of Liberace and the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band.
Expo 67 in Montreal. I was 14 and went there with my parents. One day, I was walking along between the Ontario Pavilion and the Iran Pavilion, and I heard this sound that was like a luminous cloud, metallic and rhythmic and lyrical, and I followed this sound through the pavilions until I got to this sort of balcony on one pavilion overlooking a body of water, because the whole fair was on islands in the St. Lawrence River. And across there on a big open deck, this band was playing. Guys beating on cans, big like garbage cans. I'd never heard anything like it. Who could resist?
We played at the Trinidad and Tobago Pavilion 2 or 3 shows a day, 28 guys in a group. And we played all kind of music from classics to calypso to polka, jazz, you know, some of everything. And while we were performing there, Liberace saw the band.
The Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. At that year, we were the best steel band in Trinidad and Tobago.
Thank you very, very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm anxious to have you meet a very exciting musical organization that I discovered at the Expo in Montreal, Canada. They're making their first national television appearance tonight on the Ed Sullivan program. This is Hugh Bordy, their musical director. The exciting Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band.
We was always shining. Before we met Liberace, we were shining. We were always a very colorful band dressed in lamé. This is Tripoli Pinehead. When we left and went away, this is where we left from. And I'd like, now in Tripoli Pinehead, I have over 180 players there waiting. The yard packed with people, outside packed with cars. And then we started practice. And the practice is going to go till 5 o'clock in the morning. It was so serious, it was like war. It was close to war. The people who really started the steel drums in those days were the poor, underprivileged person. They were considered as hooligans. My uncle, as a matter of fact, stopped coming to our home here because we playing the steel drum. My mother, who was his only sister.
My father, Hugh Bord, leader and founder of the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. I'm Emile Bord. My dad came from an upper middle class family. His dad was a pharmacist. It was a disappointment when he turned to the steel drums. The family wondering why would he associate himself with what we called back then vagabonds. It was sort of like how Rasta music, reggae music, started in Jamaica with the lower class and worked its way up.
My name is Abi Ali Bokas. I am 65 years of age. I'm an original member of Tripoli Steel Band. In those days, you know, you couldn't go to high school and be in steel band at the same time. Who went to high school had to discontinue more or less associating with steel band. We had an English society, and anybody who was associated with steel band was stigmatized.
Beating pan or dancing in the street, it was a disgrace. Yeah. You see, the poorer class of people could not afford piano music and all this. So the boys just invented ordinary steel drums. But they were tuned, they played a note, do re mi fa sol la ti do. They played the music by ear. Sweet pan music.
Junior Pouchet, steel band leader and arranger. There's different opinions on exactly which particular day at what time the steel band started. You know, you have several claims. The forerunner of the steel band, there was a certain thing called the Tambu Bambu Band, which existed in the 20s and 30s in Trinidad. made of different lengths of bamboo shoots and bamboo gourds that were very rhythmic, and Carnival Days, this is what the local people danced to.
My name is Ellie Manette. People call me the Stradivarius steel drum. I started playing trash cans around 11 years old in 1937, 38, throw the garbage out and beat on the bottom. The steel drum was born in a very humble way, from African skin drum to the tambu, to the garbage can, to the paint containers, into what we have today.
Welcome back with Liberace. What a great discovery that group are, aren't they?
Yes, this is the Trinidad Steel Band. They've been with me about a year and a half. The music of the steel band has only been around since after World War II, when the island of Trinidad was practically swamped with empty oil drums, such as you see here.
Due to the fact that the steel drum had such a bad reputation, in the early 40s and 50s, we could not get drums to buy, because the Shell Oil Company and the British Petroleum, nobody wanted to sell you a drum. But the Navy, using a lot of oil, thousands of drums, pile up on the back of the warehouse a mile high. When the guards are all gone, we will go down there as young boys and steal the drums away from the Navy base and run away with them and try to build them for Carnival.
When Roosevelt came to the land of the hummingbird, shouts of welcome were heard. When Roosevelt came to the land of the hummingbird, shouts of welcome were heard. His visit to the island is bound to be an epoch in local history, definitely marking a new era between Trinidad and America.
Calypso and steel band, it always go hand in hand, because when the steel band first started, all they used to play was calypso music. In those days, all the names of the bands came from movie war pictures like Casablanca, To Hell and Back, Desperados, Destination Tokyo. All these names from the old-time movie war pictures. And Tripoli came from the movie with John Payne and Maureen O'Hara, The Shores of Tripoli.
If you played in Renegades and I played in Tripoli, and one of us had to cross an intersection, it would be riots. We had riots among the bands.
My name is Michael Kernahan. I started playing pan within the Tripoli in 1963. The Tripoli band really came to prominence with our arranger, Junior Pouchet, for his arrangements for Gershwin's The Man I Love. We went to the Independence Festival competition. After the impact we made, Esso approached the band and sponsored the band, you know, and uniforms, and it was no looking back after that.
My name is Shannon Dudley, and I'm a professor of ethnomusicology at the University of Washington.
Sponsorship of steel bands was a really important development around the time of independence in 1962. When Eric Williams became the prime minister, he really put the screws, especially on a lot of international companies, to sponsor steel bands. And because, of course, the oil companies were all foreign corporations, they really wanted to get in good with the new government. If Eric Williams promotes the steel band as a symbol of Trinidad's new independent culture, many oil companies were eager to get on board with that and to associate themselves with that symbol.
Hugh Boyd, band leader for the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. Our sponsors, Esso Standard Oil, they brought us to the pavilion in Expo 67. We really had a wide repertoire and play music that could be reached by the outside world. When we play in places like Colorado and Kansas, people always say, are you going to play Rondo Capriccioso, are you going to play Paganini or are you going to play Handel Messiah?
Audience at the Liberace show, 99% white people. You know, the response was great. I remember we playing for like a black audience and, you know, and I don't know, they didn't appreciate what we were doing. We were playing a lot of classical music and they wanted us to play something by James Brown and, you know.
This is John Squaggett from the John Squaggett Nugget Hotel Casino in Sparks, Nevada. We never questioned any supporting act that Liberace brought in. It'd be the greatest surprise of the year. Our early showroom was, we called it the circus room at that time because we had two elephants on stage, Bertha and Angel. But here's Liberace and with his, you know, how he had that full-length mink coat. He'd come in on Bertha and more jewelry. He had so many rings he could hardly hold up his hand. And he had the little angels of Korea. And they were on cycles. But I think one of the outstanding groups was the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. All these natives from Trinidad came in and playing music from 55-gallon oil drum. A lot of puff sleeves, a lot of calypso clothes, you know, like from Trinidad. To see that many people from Trinidad up in Sparks, Nevada was, because we do not have a very many people that color of that skin in this area. People just were just overwhelmed by their music.
We were touring as 27 black people with the Liberace show, all in Birmingham, in the South. In those days, Governor Wallace was going up for election. And Lee took a chance.
Liberace!
The only thing I was curious about is where they got the idea for their costumes.
It's clear you have a great influence
on
people.
You can see Liberace.
Liberace never did get a chance to come to Trinidad. We broke a lot of barriers with Liberace because of the music. As music, we all know, is one of the wonders of the world and could go through any barrier.
The story of Liberace and the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson, with Emily Board and Laura Folger, mixed by Jim McKee. For more about the band and Liberace, visit Lost and Found Sound at npr.org.